Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
How's it, everybody? What you're about to watch is a rebroadcast of the Command Zone Live, episode number 2. We recorded last week with our good pal Post Malone.
Woohoo!
We're talking about our top cards, our favorite cards from the Streets of New Capenna Commander product. It's a really fun time. Posty's always a great time. But before we get into it, we got to talk about our sponsors.
Channelfireball.com/command. You want to get cards from New Capenna? You're wondering where to go? The Channel Fireball Marketplace, of course, duh. You can get single sealed product, you can pre-order new stuff, and the best part about it is you're shopping from a bunch of local game stores around the country. Places that are accredited are going to give you great customer service, and of course, it's a game store that maybe you or I have been to in the past. You're actually supporting them with online sales, and you're going to get a great price on some great cards with great customer service.
Yeah, I love the Channel Fireball Marketplace. They are particularly good about prices on sealed product.
Yeah.
So as you're getting your New Capenna stuff, this is the time to go to Channel Fireball. .com/command. And then once you get your hands on those cards, if it's collectors, boosters, and you're getting those fancy gilded cards, you want to make them safe, you want to keep them protected. Ultra Pro is the gaming accessories brand that Jimmy and I trust our own collections to.
Yep.
They are going to keep your cards safe, in pristine condition, and also looking awesome on your battlefield, because not only does Ultra Pro make awesome sleeves and deck boxes to protect your game pieces, they also make really good looking play mats and other things like wall scrolls to adorn your battlefield and your gaming cave, your game haven, your game room.
Better lit than a cave these days. They also have a brand new website you can shop at, and we have an affiliate code for you all.
Yeah, it's shop.ultrapro.com/command. This is a way to directly go to Ultra Pro and order the stuff. Of course, you can still find their products in stores worldwide, but if you go to shop.ultrapro.com/command, you'll be using our affiliate link and letting them know that we sent you.
You're also going to find if they have great deals. They'll do sales around the holidays as well as of older product. And so if you're looking up to pick up that playmat that you forgot about, well, hey, maybe it's there. Maybe it's on sale. Maybe you can pick it up right now. Shop.ultrapro.com/command.
Yeah, we hear all the time people hear about cool products or see them on our show and go to their local game store and maybe they're out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, their website directly is an easier way maybe to find that stuff if it's sold out in your local game store.
Yeah, or if you can't even make it to a local game store.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then finally, of course, a really great way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/command zone. We've recently revamped the entire thing. There are tons of new perks for our patrons that were never there before. We have all kinds of new merch. We are offering new exclusive content available only to our patrons. We also are starting to play spell table games with our patrons. We're going to start that next month. Each and every week, you'll have the chance to play with Jimmy or myself or somebody else from the team. We really are looking forward to that extra interaction with our community.
Yeah, and there's tons of different tiers. All the different tiers have different perks related to them. So go check it out. $5 a month, and you can also audition for game nights.
Oh, right. There's only a couple days of that left.
Yeah, if you want a chance to be on the show, all you have to do is sign up to be a patron, send in the audition, follow the instructions, and you will get your shot to be on the game night's table with us playing for the fan episode, one of our favorite episodes in the world. We pull directly from our patrons for that.
Yeah, you know you want to get knighted, be on the show. There's going to be a link in the show notes with the rules, restrictions, and how to enter.
Right.
Finally, I just want to give one last shout out because Command Fests are coming back.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of them. They've been announced by Wizards. Jimmy and I are planning to be at the one in Las Vegas from June 10th through the 12th. 12th, I believe.
Yeah,
that weekend. Yeah, we're going to be there. So that's another good way to get in games with us. It's going to be really fun. Live events are some of the best times I've ever had. Command Fest, super, super fun because tons of Commander players there. So if you can attend in Las Vegas, June 10th to 12th, well, maybe we'll see you there.
Yeah, there's also ones happening around the country. So check it out. You can find all the information online, of course, and in the show more box below. But let's get into it. You're here to see Post Malone live. Well, kind of live. It was once live.
You're going to know it was live because there are some, how should we say, audio slip-ups we maybe had to like bleep over
beep,
a little bit.
Beep,
yeah,
beep,
yeah.
Beep.
Not normal for the command zone, but you know, when it's live, things happen. So
yeah.
Hope you enjoy it.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing.
Wow! Nice solo.
Oh, thank you.
One,
thank
Josh.
You. Yeah,
that was
working
amazing.
On my trumpet.
What's up, everyone? You are watching / listening, mostly watching the Command Zone podcast live. I'm one of your hosts today, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. We are joined by the world famous Post Malone.
Post Malone of Game Night's fame.
Hey, Post Malone.
That's
hey,
why he's world famous, just so you know.
I love you guys. Thanks for checking it out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And welcome to the show. Today, we are going to be doing some fun stuff. We don't do live episodes often, but we thought it'd be fun to talk about some cards. And who doesn't love Magic cards? If you're watching this stream, you probably love them as much as I do.
Yeah, so the Commander decks from Streets of New Capenna were just revealed over the last 2 days. So
ooh,
we
yeah.
thought it would be fun to talk about our favorite cards that
sure.
we saw from just the Commander decks. We're not going to talk about the main set. Posty, you're here.
Hello.
But people maybe don't know, but we deal obviously with a lot of people in the Magic world. You are the person that is building the most decks constantly of anybody
man.
I know.
Oh, wow.
I can't stop.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
He has like a notepad thing on his phone with all the different
Commander.
Decks and what, like, it's crazy.
Commander, Legacy.
So I think this is be a good chance for everybody to just hear us all, but especially you talk
sure.
about Magic and how we think about Magic cards.
Oh,
so
yeah.
the show's going to be sort of divided into two parts. We're going to talk about our favorite cards from Streets of New Capenna Commander decks, and then we're going to do a Q&A near the end with Posty for any
yeah.
questions that everybody's got. And of course, as we're going through the cards, we really do encourage the chat to get involved because we're going to be kind of doing it off the cuff, so there's a chance that we don't mention a card that's maybe perfect with one of the cards, or maybe we get a rule wrong, because that happens
very
when
much
you're,
so.
Yeah, when
you're
talking about cards.
You're making mistakes? No way. I'm perfect.
We
no
were
way.
Posty and I were texting just the other night about a card and getting all excited, and then we realized, oh, it says three colors.
Exactly like, three colors.
Yeah, exactly three
oh,
colors.
Man,
yeah.
Like, oh, man, I thought it was excellent.
It is excellent.
Yeah, so please keep us honest out there.
Yeah, yeah. Big thanks to Wizard of the Coast for supporting the live stream. And also, we're joined by Lady Danger in
Hello.
The chat room as well
Hi,
as here
Lady.
In the studio.
Hi.
If you all want to be involved in the second part of the episode where we ask some questions, you can put them into the chat. Lady will be there and watching along. So hope to see some good questions.
Also, just a preface. The way the cameras are set up has about me, Jimmy, and Josh, same height.
Yes.
I want you guys to know that I am significantly taller than you.
We're standing on sandbags. It's hard to. Yeah,
it's
let's make sure that the world's
for composition.
Exactly. Yeah, we want a nice even playing field, but this is really where I'm at.
Yeah.
No, don't do it. Come on.
You're breaking the wall.
I could have been lying.
Just told them.
No, I could have been lying.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
come on.
You don't lie. You're
There's just
never,
memes. It could have
yeah.
been a meme.
It just
yeah, yeah.
memes.
Okay.
All right.
Still the most handsome guys in town, nonetheless.
Thanks, and finally, the triumvirate is complete with the third handsomest, Post Malone.
I don't know.
How's it feel to be number third?
Almost.
I'm trying to
number
keep
third?
Up. You know, I'm happy with third. I take third.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah.
Sorry, hey, man. I just like to party, man.
I didn't mean you were third.
Oh, yeah, we should say that.
Who's first, then?
Wow.
Y'all
got to
duke it out. Who's
yeah,
first?
We'll play a game of Commander for it later.
That's not fair. But okay.
We should warn everybody. Normally, our show is very G-rated, but it might stray to PG territory. We're going to try, but an obscenity may slip out here and there. It is live.
Magic. So,
yeah, just want to warn anybody who's watching with kids or anything like that. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, we will have had time to beep those out, but not in the live episode, so fair warning. Okay, let's start.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I'm doing my best.
You're doing awesome.
But in every PG movie, you get one F-bomb.
That's true. You're allowed it, too.
And you're allowed it.
Yeah, it's not even like
and
a breaking
I, but
a
I'm going to do my best. But yeah. You never know, I get excited. So it might
you get excited about Magic. All right, let's talk about the first card from New Capenna Commander decks that we wanted to talk about. I think this is one you picked out.
Sure.
I think we all did, obviously, because this is kind of a crazy card. And white is on the rise, I think, in recent years, and this is evidence of that. Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy. You want to read it?
It's called Smuggler's Share. It's 2 and a white for an enchantment. You should see it on screen here in a second. At the beginning of each end step, draw a card for each opponent who drew 2 or more cards this turn, then create a treasure token for each opponent who had 2 or more lands enter the battlefield under their control this turn. Good job, white.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I have a question for, well, both of you, which is, I mean, there's obviously good for white, but it feels like maybe it's so good that it's just good for any deck that has white. Like, even if you have blue and white, are you running this card?
I don't know if... Esper Sentinel.
Right.
Okay, one drop, right?
Amazing.
Boom. Every Azorius, even if you're, you know, even if you have blue. If you have a Rissic Study, if you have a Mystic Remora, you're still going to run Esper Sentinel. I think this deck, or this card is specifically good in mono white, because that's you're missing so much card draw, you know.
Yeah, it's
I mean?
A three
but
draw.
You don't think you would run it if you have access to all that other stuff,
because
it does give you
so.
Treasures. You don't get any treasures off Mystic Remora.
That's very true, but I mean, who's playing Landfall? Who's playing like Lord Windgrace at the table? Who's Crucible of Worlds and everything? Lady,
question is, because this costs 3 mana, everyone's ramping with land ramp on 2 and 3. How often are they doing it past that they're going to get treasures? And,
yeah,
but I would say that in a regular
that's
commander
true,
game,
ramp, I didn't
a lot of work. Times I'll play, I would say like at least 30 to 40% of the turn, someone's drawing more than one card each turn.
Oh, for sure. You're definitely drawing like a card at least a rotation, right? Because there's almost no, in most commander games, once you get past turn 3, there's almost no rotations where everybody just draws
someone's
one
draw
card.
Right,
card.
Yeah, right. It could be leading, it could be anything. There's lots of different ways to draw cards.
I do think, though, this card, it only works if they draw 2 cards on the same turn. So if they have instant speed card draw and they time it right,
right,
they can deny it to you, right? Because if they just wait till this trigger goes on the stack on somebody else's end step and let it resolve and then do their instant speed card draw, they can draw 5 cards at that point. You're not going to get any card draw off this card.
Right.
It is at the beginning of each end step, which is kind of interesting. So it does look at each player. And not everyone's going to be able to just sit there and be like, nah, I don't want to draw that extra card right now. I'll do it later.
And fetch lands could be the double lands entering, right?
Right. Yeah, right.
Oh,
exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even I was thinking about landfall and all that stuff, but yeah, the fetch lands will do it. Like, I guess, you know, Nature's Lore, anything like that, it'll do it too. Which is actually pretty good. And I just built Light Paws.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And, this is amazing in that deck.
I think for mono white, this is good. I would not run it over a Rissic Study. It's the same CMC.
Yeah.
Especially if you have blue in your color.
Would you run both?
No, I would not. Mm. I think there's only 100 cards in the deck. So it's like, you know, it's like, oh, what am I taking out to do that? You know, but for mono white, I think this is a really super cool
thing. I would say
thing.
Like white, red, mono white.
Yeah.
White, black. Yeah, you probably run this.
I mean, I think it depends on the makeup of your deck. If you have a lot of wheels, like Windfall or whatever, well, you're going to Windfall, and then you're going to draw 3 extra cards.
Right.
And, you know, maybe if you've got things like Howling Mine. Or Anvil of Bogarde.
This is better than Howling Mind.
Yeah, but I mean, if Howling Mind's ever already in the deck,
everyone's
going to draw 2,
gonna draw
right.
And you're going to draw that extra. So Howling Mind kind of lets you draw 3 extra cards per rotation.
Yeah.
Again, that weird situation, though, where it's like you want Howling Mind out if you have Smuggler's Share out, but do you want to have Smuggler's Share out without Howling Mind out?
I think it's still probably good. It's just way better with Howling Mind, right?
Very
it's going to do something.
So. Yeah, and it's so interesting, too, because like a lot of these, like, you try to get them out as fast as you can, get your card draw right. It's just, it's all dependent on what your opponents are doing.
Correct.
Which is like, I guess, you know, mono white very much lacks just draw card. You know, hey, as much as I would love that, you have that. What's the one drop that's like,
that's
yada yada, draw card.
yada yada draw a card. Yeah, in mono white.
Yeah, and white.
Mono white.
It's like it's not Rebuff the Wicked. It's something there. It's something that's like, oh, maybe your Jamie opponents can can't do it. Blah blah blah, and you draw a card.
Maybe chat can find it. Yada yada, draw a card.
Yada yada, draw a card.
Is
it's
the new Wordle.
It's
by the way.
Mono white.
Yada yada could have been the Streets of New Capenna card for sure, right?
Yada yada.
Yada yada. No, that's the mono white card. Yada yada, draw a card. And then it's just one white mana, draw a card.
Yeah, that's
so good.
Yada yada. Yeah, it's interesting. I think this is so. What's the other monologue tax? There's a bunch of three mana cards that are in white now that are like very good, but like Posey said, it depends on what your opponents are doing. So I think really look at your play group. Is everyone playing fetch lands or evolving wilds and always cracking them? Smuggler Ship probably looking pretty good then.
Yeah, if you got like, you know, three color decks. Three color decks
are
definitely. They're definitely. Is it Revitalize? No, Revitalize. Revitalize does say draw card, but that's a two drop.
Yeah, that's a two.
I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. It might have been Revitalize, but it's a
two drop.
Curse
of Silence, Abeyance, Manatithe? No, Manatithe doesn't.
Yeah,
draw
Manatithe.
Would that just counter?
Manatithe
something?
Just copies Jimmy's Sol Ring, or counters Jimmy's
Sol Ring.
Yeah, yada yada tribal is what.
Yada yada
tribal is absolutely fantastic. But yeah, it's I don't. Is this? How do you guys feel, speaking of like three drop card draw in white, how do you guys feel about like Secret Rendezvous?
Oh, where you and an opponent draw cards together?
Go ahead.
Josh would never play this card.
I
would play this card, but I will try and leverage it to all as much as I can.
Sure.
Right? Like, I'm going to spend three mana on the sorcery speed on my turn. You better be my friend for like
two
turns,
very much
three
so.
Turns. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like to give things to my opponent, so no, I'll just find something that only benefits me if possible.
Man.
You act like you play a lot of Secret Rendezvous. I play with you a lot.
I've never played Secret Rendezvous once, but I'm thinking about putting it in these mono-white decks because I need to draw something sometimes.
True, true. It is giving you something, yeah.
Which is, I guess this is better than nothing. Okay, you get a Plains, Mana Crypt, you know, whatever. But it's just good. If you get this out early, I think it'll reward you.
It's hard to
fine.
Imagine a game where you don't draw at least a couple of cards off
right.
of it. And, like, you know, you spend your three mana spell. If you get three cards, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's probably going to incidentally get you, like, one treasure maybe in the game.
Maybe
if they're not careful
or they have to
crack their fetch on the same turn they played it because they want to play something now at sorcery speed.
Turn one, this is pretty good, turns out.
Turn two, this. That. Well, here's the thing.
To live in Posey's world.
This isn't.
Where I have Mana Crypt every
this
game.
This isn't Great Henge. This isn't the card that people want to remove. So you do have a little bit of benefit that it's just going to sit there.
Yeah, it's a sleeper.
Yeah, it sleeps. And occasionally wakes up and draws you a card. Or makes a treasure. Pretty
good. Or makes a treasure. Out of nowhere, you're like, oh, you cracked a fetch land?
I don't think we figured out what yada yada draw card was.
That's pretty good.
All right.
If we spend this much time on every card, everyone's going to be here for 6 hours.
I'm
down with that. No, yada yada draw card. Sorry, Josh.
Write that down, Wizards of the Coast.
It is Divine Strike. White instant target creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn, draw card.
Yeah, it's Divine Strike. That's a one drop.
Yeah, it's a one drop.
I knew I wasn't crazy.
Chat figured it out.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Somebody in chat said the ideal would be turn one Esper, turn two Light Paws, turn three Smugglers, turn four Smothering Tides.
Yeah, that sounds epic, man. Yeah, you got so much mana.
I like that magical Christmas land right there. I like that one. I want to go there.
Yeah, Christmas land's good this time of year.
Smuggler Share, thank you. White, you're doing some stuff and we like
it. I think it's cool. I think it's cool. And we've been saying for a long time, like, I don't think White needs more Smothering Tithe or Teferi's Protection level cards. They need more Cultivate level cards, and this feels like what that is.
Yeah.
Ketchup cards.
Yeah.
Not like the ketchup you put on your burger, but catching up. And this card 100% does that. Same with, like, what's it, the mana tax.
Boy, this is the live episode.
You get three basics out of your deck. I can't land tax.
Oh, right.
It doesn't work unless someone else is really doing the thing, and so you catch up.
Right.
But land tax turn one is great.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Josh, take her away.
Okay. Next card, everybody. Strap in. We're going to be here a while. We got
I'm here to talk about. Till midnight.
Thanks.
Was about to cuss, but I didn't.
Yeah.
We should give high fives every time we don't. Yeah. Good job.
The whole episode's just high five the whole time. All right. The next card is also a white card. This one is pretty cool. I think a lot of things you can do with it. It's Resourceful Defense. Two and a white. For an enchantment, whenever a permanent you control leaves the battlefield, if it had counters on it, put those counters on target permanent you control. And you can pay four and a white, move any number of counters from target permanent you control to another target permanent you control.
We have never seen this text on a Magic card before.
It's pretty dope. I think it's dope.
The closest you get is like Ozolith.
Yeah, that, the Ozolith.
But that wait, it has to happen at a certain time. This is actually, I think, one of the single most defining cards for like counter decks that's ever been printed.
Yeah.
You can do so much with it.
Yeah. That's Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Right? Planeswalkers.
Now, if a Planeswalker, if you tick it down, then those loyalty counters are removed. So if you ticked it down till it died, those loyalty counters won't go to somebody
right.
else.
Right.
If somebody attacks it
and kills it,
that's damage that takes away loyalty counters, right. so they won't there. But if something destroyed a Planeswalker, just, you know, what mm-hmm. is like Dreadbore or something,
right.
you know, then those counters would now go on to any permanent. They could go onto a land, right. and you're just like, my land's holding, you know.
And then you play another Planeswalker, you move them back.
Yep, yeah. my land's yeah. just holding my loyalty counter
for five
now.
Mana.
Yeah.
Yeah, for five mana. But Planeswalkers cost nothing to activate. So you could play a Planeswalker, maybe you have five mana transfer it over in instant ulti.
You could put it on like a strip mine.
You could definitely pop Ugin or yeah. like whatever you want. Yeah. Do some crazy stuff.
I mean, if you're smart where you put the counter, like put it on a strip mine or something that you're going to be able to have die or go right. to the graveyard, then those counters can now be moved with the first text without the mana, right? So, I think that's super powerful. Sagas are another really good one.
Yep. Yeah. You can just instant complete mm-hmm. a saga if you move it all over.
Yeah, and if you have multiple sagas.
Oh, yeah, it's any number of counters.
One, yeah, so one goes to three, it completes, and then those counters go on to the next one, it completes. You know, you get chapters two and three or whatever, then goes to the next one. So if you had three or four sagas out, which, okay, Magical Christmas Land.
I play saga decks.
Yeah.
I play saga tribal.
Yeah, so it's just be like, they just all happen. There's also an interesting rule thing where you can, in response to the third chapter happening, you can take all the saga counters off of it.
Right.
And you'll get the third chapter effect, but now the saga won't get sacrificed.
Because it triggers on the stack.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's correct.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So what do you do with that saga?
The saga goes away.
Well, now it's Urza's saga, and you just be like, cool, now I'll go find another one mana artifact
sure,
next time,
sure,
you know,
sure,
or whatever.
Keep,
yeah,
that's cool. That's cool.
So this it's like an Ozolith for white.
Yeah.
An expensive Ozolith for white. Yes. How much is Ozolith? It's one.
One.
It's
mana.
A one drop.
Yeah.
But it's a trigger that happens at a specific time.
But Ozolith is only creature.
When is right. Yeah, that's very true also.
Yeah, so sagas and loyalty counters don't work.
I noticed, too, looking at this set, there's a lot of 1-1 counters and 1-1 counter synergies for it. So I think it fits. This fits within the set, so, like, dope.
It's very good.
And in particular decks, very much so. Like, I don't know. Like, you could give your commander double strike and win.
Right, right.
Just, like, with that.
Oh, yeah, and you have to be scared if there's a bunch of counters sitting on anything. If they swing with their commander, like, okay, for five mana, they can
right.
just move
all that.
Move
them around, yeah. Right. The fact that it's any number, it counts everything. Like, you have cards with Death Touch counters on it. You can even take, like, Dark Depths counters off of it and for five mana, just make Dark Depths turn into Merit Lage.
Just immediately? Yeah, that's cool.
Epic.
That's epic. Pretty good reduction on Dark Depths.
Are you taking... Yeah, you're just taking them off.
Because you may never move the counters anywhere else, but that's all you want to do is just move them off. So.
It's a very legacy move of you, Jimmy.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you. For five mana, Legacy's laughing at me. Eight mana, actually, to cast a spell.
I can take all of the counters off of Dark Depths for five mana.
What are you going to do now, Yugi?
That's what it do.
Have you guys seen Delaying Shield is another one where I think this is quite good. So if you would be dealt damage, you put that many counters on Delaying Shield instead. And then at the beginning of your upkeep, you remove all the delay counters on Delaying Shield. And then for each counter removed, you either lose one life or you have to pay one in a white.
Oh, you just move it off before you get to your
turn. So you untap, the trigger goes on the stack, and then in response, you just move all the counters away to like your land or whatever, and it says, oh, there's no counters there. You don't have to pay any life.
And you're indestructible.
You basically can't die to damage
at
that point.
Man.
Yeah, that's cool.
You don't even take the damage. You just always put counters on. So it's not even like the Platinum Angel where you're at zero life but not dead. No, you're still at your life total.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, and it's in mono white. Very good.
Platinum Angel is in mono white, too.
move your indestructible counter over there.
You know, and that's what's cool. Looking at the set, there's like a bunch of shield counters and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So there's just like a way. That's you could really pillow for it with that card and with like everything. Like,
I think Threat of Activation will be really big with the card, too, because if you have five mana up, they have to worry.
Yeah.
If I go to destroy that, he'll just move that thing over there.
Right.
Which causes them to not go to destroy it, so you never actually have to use the mana on that. Like, that, such an advantage. Yeah, very cool card.
Does doubling season affect this if you move the counters as a double?
Yeah.
Really?
It's if counters would be
placed on
it. Oh, my
wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Am I playing Selesnya from now on? Like, that's all. That's it. That's
it.
So much support for plus one counters. You can do there's so much you can do now. And, like, Coria brought in the indestructible counters and the menace counters and all that stuff. Lots of craziness.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of cool things you can do with this card. Like, we're just scratching the surface. yeah. so many possibilities. Because now that there's lifelink counters and indestructible counters and death touch counters yeah. and everything, just being able to move those around at instant speed and do crazy stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, putting an indestructible counter on like your Nevs disc or something just sounds like the meanest thing
yeah,
ever.
That's
right?
crazy.
Like, yeah.
They very much could have had this just say plus one counters only, and it still would have been the only time that this text had been printed on the card.
Yeah, but the fact that it's any counter.
Yeah, any counter, it really is, I think, pushed in that way, so I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm trying to, for Planeswalkers, I'm trying to like figure it out, because I had Atraxa, took it apart. Ooh. But now that Luxior is getting printed in this, and I'm like, yo, your Planeswalker's a creature that's kind of nutty. So I'm trying to figure out how to work that in.
This has to be useful with the Planeswalkers.
Yeah,
creatures.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Play a Planeswalker, move the counters on it so that it can ulti.
You can play another Planeswalker and then ultimate that Planeswalker.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Because you can just move the counters on it. Because it's just loyalty counters. It's the same across every Planeswalker. So pretty interesting.
That's pretty cool.
You just need 5 man to do it.
It's a lot.
You got to be, I think this is the deck that you're playing a lot of mana generation. Otherwise, or super, just have a billion lands. Because otherwise, you're resourceful defensing once a turn.
You're not going to
do it twice a turn. No way. That's 10 mana.
Somebody needs to figure out a combo with this where it generates mana. Somehow moving the counters makes mana. Ah. And then that's how you break it, right?
I don't know. Maybe one of those...
whenever counters will be placed on.
Like a storage land or something?
Like a storage land or something, but I'm trying to think. Yeah, because what else has a storage land? And then how are you got to play something to untap that land?
Yeah.
And then I feel like you can do it, but I don't think you will be able to do it, especially if you're playing with Josh Lee Kwai of Game Night's Fame.
You
have to move it on to permanent. Players are not permanent.
I'm permanent for like 100 years. I guess.
I'm not planning to go anywhere.
I'm sticking around.
All right, cool card. We want to move on to the next
one? Let's move on. Sure. Yeah, we got Extravagant Replication in blue. 4 blue for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, create a token that's a copy of another target non-land permanent you control. So you get to create a token copy every upkeep for your upkeeps. That's a copy of another target non-land permanent. So this could be an artifact, enchantment, planeswalker, you name it. It could be another resourceful defense, but you probably don't want to.
No, you can't. It says another. That's actually one of the...
Could.
You can't do extravagant.
You could. We talked about this. So me and Josh... I'll let you take it.
No, go.
No, you explain it probably way better than me. But you could resourceful defense, copy enchantment, mirror maid, resourceful defense.
Oh, no, your extravagant...
Replication.
Yeah.
Because, Mirror Maid is a copy enchantment blue spell, so you just copy that.
Yeah, you just keep...
Copy each other because the replication can't copy itself.
Right.
But if there were two of them, they could copy...
You could copy it. So you can make 1,000 extravagant replications.
And then what's that card that gives you Usher upkeeps, Josh?
Paradox Haze, yeah. Sphinx of the Second Sun, is the really cool one. Because if you make a copy of the Sphinx, you'll get another upkeep after... your second main or whatever, and then you can make 2 more copies of the Sphinx or whatever. Like, it can start getting out of control super fast.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But how are you winning?
I think the win is probably with some extra turn type spells. So there's
everyone's favorite.
Yep. So, like, just Archaeomancer, right?
Yeah.
With a time warp. Every turn you get to get your time warp back.
Yeah. Yep.
You make an Archaeomancer, get your time warp back. That's a pretty simple loop. You can also, there's a card called Second Chance, which is 2 and a blue for an enchantment. During your upkeep, if you have 5 life or less, you sacrifice Second Chance and take an extra turn after this one.
Ah.
So if you just stack your triggers, so you copy the Second Chance, you have to be at 5 life or less, obviously, then sack one of them.
Necropotence.
And then the next turn comes around. So that's probably how you use this to win.
What was the one we talked about? It's a slower win. What is it? Mechanized production.
Oh, yeah.
Can that work?
Yeah.
So mechanized production, what is it? If you have 8
or more of the same artifact,
then you win. Could just keep kind of, I guess you could just blow this up huge and then just make...
Copy some tokens.
Yeah, so many, then just win. That's a slower win.
Yeah, you copy your mechanized production, and before you know it, you have 2 or 3 of those.
Exactly.
And then, And if you're doing like treasures or clues or something you could create on the side, like I think you could do it pretty quick, actually.
I think you could do it quick.
Yeah. That seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting card just to give you extra copies of stuff, too. Unfortunately, it's not land, so you can't ramp yourself, but it's 6 mana. But you're copying, you could also copy, like, Sphinx of the Second Sun, or whatever that crazy one is. Sphinx of the Lost Trove, that one, yeah.
Or just Agent of Treachery or something?
Agent of Treachery, yeah. There's so many very powerful creatures you can just double up and over again.
Yeah, that's
reminds
awesome.
Me a little bit of...
it's actually awesome.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, you're going nuts.
I foresee all of my things getting stolen very soon.
Yeah, party.
Oh, you like magic cards? Me too, Josh.
You all, if you copy a legendary permanent like Kakusho or Kaiga, you're going to get the death triggers because the moment it enters the battlefield, it instantly sacks the legendary.
Oh, Kakusho's... Yeah, that's pretty good, right? Yeah. Especially if you could get two.
If you do,
then all
even
of a sudden
what's Kakusho's? He's got two, right?
Yeah. Well, the first one. No, it's a new old Kakusho. When it dies, everyone old loses Kakusho. Five life, and you gain life. You get life losses.
Yep.
So
that's
you can just
exactly anime. Yeah.
You have to because the legendary.
That could be a win condition right there. It's just Kakusho mana plus Time Warp mana, and you have your Archaeomancer or whatever, and you have two of these out. Oh man, it's like a six card combo.
But Kaiga just steals all their stuff too. It's like because it's a dice trigger on it to take creatures, right? So
very nice.
Yeah, that's another.
Yeah, someone mentioned Brutaclad. Also seems pretty good. You just make lots of mirror box Brutaclad. No, you'd probably do something crazier.
What would you do?
I don't know. I like making Brutaclad tokens things that people don't expect that are killing them.
People were talking about Biovisionary.
Biovisionary,
because yeah.
If you have five more of these, you win the game, or is it four? Yeah.
What's the one... not Ascendancy.
Oh, Ascendancy is the one that counts up 1/1 counters.
Counters. If you play, like... This is going back. I'm totally going in retrograde.
No, for resourceful defense.
I just thought of that right now. You could try and figure that out pretty quick. I don't know.
It seems like it wouldn't be that hard.
I don't know. Okay. Well, not hard for you or you. It's a little hard for me. It takes me about 20 minutes.
He's modest, but he stomps us all the time.
That's not true.
All right, let's go on to the next card here, which is In Too Deep. An interesting new removal spell from blue. It costs blue. It's an enchantment aura with split second. So as long as this spell is on the stack, players can't cast spells or activate abilities that aren't mana abilities.
Pretty good.
It says enchant creature, planeswalker, or clue.
Your clue's looking mad.
That's
scary
weird.
Over there.
I don't want you to have that clue.
I'm going to get you.
It's even more weird because if you enchant a clue, it says enchanted permanent is a colorless clue artifact with pay two, sacrifice this artifact, draw a card, and loses all other abilities.
Okay. So this is like Imprisoned in the Moon. This is like Song of the Dryads. You're changing the fundamental aspect of a permanent.
This would be significantly better if it had Flash.
True. It does have split second, though. So you do have to cast it on your turn, but once you cast it, they can't like do things in response for the most part. There's some things you can do, obviously. Yeah, but you're right. If you could... Yeah. I mean, it is like interesting that it hits Planeswalkers, too. I think that makes it... Like, because Pongify doesn't hit Planeswalkers.
Definitely
and,
don't hit clues.
Yeah. That's a good point. Reality Shift, which is probably the closest comparison, I guess, to this, doesn't hit Planeswalkers, but is instant speed, but doesn't have a split second. They're turning a lot of different levers to, like, make it hard to evaluate where this sits. I mean, how would you evaluate it in relation to, like, Reality Shift, which, you know, sees a ton of play?
Manifest the top card.
Yeah, and it exiles. And it's instant speed, but it's only creature.
I mean, it's good. I look, here you have, it's two blue pips.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy, right? There's so many alternatives. If you're playing mono blue, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If you're playing mono blue, maybe, because you have those blue pips.
Blue.
If you're playing like
cast,
two or more, I mean, yes. I don't know.
Like how
I'm trying to think of like Abrupt Decay, Assassin's Trophy, like stuff like that, and then they still even get a clue. I guess
it's like Declaration in Stone because they get a clue of it. But Declaration in Stone's only creatures. This does target a lot of stuff.
How often is Planeswalker like relevant? Like, is there a Planeswalker on the battlefield you want? It's not that often, right?
Probably not.
I just want to hit it, but if I have Luxior, I can't.
Yeah,
yeah.
If they have Luxior, I can't.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I think. Enchant creature is the biggest part, but then you got it's nice because can't be like countered, you know, like all that stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like once you target it, it's pretty hard to interact
it's hard
with
to
this
get
spell.
Around.
Like it's gonna happen, and it gets around, you know, indestructible and things like that, which is nice. I think there's ways to make this a lot more mean too. If you have like Collector Oof out or Stony Silence or Null Rod, all of a sudden. It's going to be stuck there. They won't be able to activate the clue to draw the card.
Oh, activate abilities, right.
And now it becomes more like Song of the Dryads or Imprisoned in the Moon, where it kind of can turn off their commander for the rest of the game, which we've all had happen, and it sucks. Yeah,
I mean, if mono blue, I think it's good, but it's not... I don't know.
You have a lot of
what does Snap say? Is it non-land permanent?
Yeah.
Or creature.
No, I think snap is creature.
Creature.
Yeah.
Because I mean, at the end of the day, I don't see myself casting this on a planeswalker or a clue. Definitely not a
snap
clue.
Snap is creature only.
Yeah, I mean, snap is creature only.
Yeah, creature only.
But it's super interesting because it is the thing that's getting me is two blue pips.
Yeah.
Had this been cut down to like one, I'd be like, one, yo, this card's crazy.
Right.
This card is
even
insane.
Even if it was one in a generic mana?
Yeah, even so. Even so. And it's sorcery speed.
Yeah.
The split second is really what's kind of like,
if
there was
this
card
in the engine,
good.
Yeah,
if there was something in between sorcery and instant, it would be in here, right? Because of the split
that
second.
Is?
Yes,
yeah.
Instant.
Yeah. It's not quite instant, but it's a little.
Maybe we're allergic instant. To sorceries on this channel.
Yeah, we don't use sorceries, man. I don't keep one in my deck.
I'm not that part of that life. Yeah,
Shauna is proud of you for saying oof correctly.
Oofy.
Oh, yeah. Shauna just taught me how to say oof on the recent episode. Because 100% I would have said oofy up until.
You never play Roblox?
Roblox,
days ago.
Oof.
Oof. Oof.
Isn't that just somebody getting like smacked? Like oof.
But
no, that's
Roblox,
when you so. Die in Roblox.
Oof.
And they spell it O U P H E?
I don't know how they spell it.
I thought that was OOF.
They might.
They have a whole Roblox
okay.
vibe. I don't know what they're
just remember that sound. Let it wake you up at night.
Oof. Oof.
That's Josh's fever dream now. It's just
we're really inducting Josh into the internet culture by giving him the old Roblox oof.
Josh, let's hit a dab one time
okay.
for posterity.
Oh, yeah. Wait, we were this one. Sorry.
What?
Bodied.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what's going on anymore. Okay.
Josh is like these.
Moving
children.
On to the next card.
Cards.
Magic. Good.
Game fun.
Fun.
Game fun. Game hard.
Game hard.
Game is hard, yeah. Okay. The next card is a red card. I guess, Jimmy, you should read it.
Hell yeah.
This is a pretty cool, interesting
I
one.
I get one H word per live stream. All right.
Yeah, the H works.
Spiteful Repossession. Four and a red for a sorcery. Spiteful Repossession deals damage to each opponent who controls more lands than you equal to the difference. Then create a number of treasure tokens equal to the damage dealt this way. So if I have three lands and somehow play this, and Josh and Posty both have five lands, this would deal four damage to them. Four damage, because they both have two more, and then I would make four treasures.
I never have five lands on the board.
I was going to say, this is a really good card for you, because you are always behind in lands,
yeah,
I feel
City
like.
City of Traders, you got big your Lotus
City field. Of Traders wins games, though. Hey, and
it's a great
card. Like, you know, I don't.
It says it says deals damage to each opponent who controls more lands than you equal to the difference. Does that mean if you both have five and I have three, does it deal two to each of you or four to each of you?
Jamie,
let us know what the answer is. Or chat, let us know.
Who controls more
is Jim from the Spike Feeders in there? He usually knows stuff. Two to each. Two to each. Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, so if I have three lands and they both have five lands, that's two difference in lands between myself and Josh. So that's four total.
But,
and then you make four treasures.
You will make four treasures, yeah.
That's pretty dope.
In this case scenario. Now,
is it?
Well, I don't know. Are you going to get to the. Are you going to. Is it going to be as good as you want?
I don't know.
I mean, the treasures feel like they're pretty big game if you're going to get like five to six treasures. I guess it's a 5-minute spell, though.
Is it a Brass's Bounty?
Ooh, Brass's Bounty. Very good comparison.
Well, they're obviously different because one wants you to have a lot of lands and this wants you to have not very many. But is it going to be better or worse on average than a Brass's Bounty?
I think Brass's Bounty will take it every time.
Yeah.
I think this
is 7 mana for Brass's Bounty, but you'll probably get way more treasures as
a
result.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Brass's
Bounty. Yeah, because how many games are you in where your opponents have 4 or 5 more lands than you do? That's a lot more.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Unless you're playing straight mono red or straight Boros, your opponents are at most 2 lands in front of you. 3 maybe, but unless you're like a Lord Windgrace deck or whatever, then you're 1,000 lands in front of
them. Yeah, if you, I say you slot this in, you say, oh, you got Lord Windgrace. I'm slotting this in right now.
I think you can't even be Gruul, because if you're Gruul, then you're playing green, you're going to have more
lands.
Yeah,
you're ramping. Yeah. It's this.
Somebody mentioned
colorless.
Obosh, because it's odd.
Oh, it's odd, so it'll deal double.
Oh.
And then do you read it again? Do you create, you create treasure tokens
equal
to the damage dealt.
Equal to the difference.
Equal to the damage dealt. So if it doubles, it'll double the treasures.
Equal to the
damage
dealt.
Yeah, with Obosh, then you're going to have all of your Torbrands and stuff too. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Fire Emancipation, Torbrand. I mean, there's interesting things you can do if you're willing to like sack your lands.
Ooh.
So if you have Zurn Orb or maybe like squandered resources, you can put this on the stack and then just sack all your lands. And now.
What's the goblin sack a land deal 2 damage? What is.
Jamie will find it.
Jamie will find it. It's a goblin.
It's a goblin. He's like sack of land, blah, blah, blah. Then run this. I don't know if you're going to kill anybody.
what if everyone, okay, this is turn
but
nine.
You might get like 30 treasure tokens. Yeah, yeah. So you probably will kill them.
Then
so
you
it's
can
turn
go
nine.
Off.
Everyone's got at least, let's say, 11 lands out, and you sack all the way down to zero. You're going to do 11 damage three times, and you're going to make 33 treasures.
Okay. You could probably win right there because 33 mana is enough
to win. That's a lot. Oh, Aki.
Avalanchers.
Bro,
how do you
sack
a land?
Gets plus two.
Goblin Raze Runners.
There's a lot of cards. I don't know,
sacrifice
man.
Land, blue, plus, okay, okay. So red
it's
like
tucked
sacking
in
lands.
My special.
It's
special
not that hard for.
I'm like, there's
your
one
cerebral.
Part is for magic. And
yeah,
all,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It definitely digs deep.
There's you don't even have to sack your lands. There's cool stuff you could do with, let's say, Teferi's Protection, right? So you put this on the stack, maintain priority, put Teferi's Protection on the stack, let Teferi's Protection resolve.
Oh, so you have zero lands technically?
When it resolves. And all your treasures will come in.
You can still play your turn out.
Yeah, because there's nothing about, like, you're not phased out. It's all your stuff. So now you've...
Treasures will come in afterwards.
Yeah. So you'll get the treasures. You'll be able to play the cards out of your hand. You're totally still Teferi's Protected. Your board is phased out. That's pretty cool.
That's spicy.
That's eight mana.
That's eight mana.
That's Insurrection, Josh. Come on.
Right, yeah, but you could play an Insurrection, dude, and win.
But eight mana, win the game, is where about where we are. And I think that's will, because you'll get 30 treasure tokens.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like...
You could, like, double vision it or fork it. Fury
it's a pretty
storm
good...
It.
Yeah.
I think it's
Fury Storm with it seems pretty good,
too.
That's
but
nine
that's
mana.
What?
But
that's
like,
nine mana.
But, I mean, if you get, like, three copies of this and everybody takes,
well, here's
you know,
the thing.
Two to three, but you, again, you make 30 treasures.
Let's say you're playing Neheb.
I think
play this in Neheb, the Worthy?
It's pretty good.
Or the Eternal?
It's pretty good.
Oh, because it gives you basically double mana for all it did, because you get the treasure
you get
and
the
mana from
and
Neheb.
The mana and the second, your main phase, maybe.
You get the
Inspired by Jimmy.
Thank you.
I tried to get his deck list. He wouldn't give it to me.
No, so I gave you a couple cards.
he did give me a fog.
Yeah.
Alpha Fog, I love you, Jimmy.
Well, no,
so
it was Smoke.
Smoke, that's what it is.
I love that card.
Yeah. They didn't get me an Alpha Smoke.
Yeah, sorry, Josh.
Yours is in the mail. You didn't get it yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't get it yet?
It's crazy. USPS is very slow. Yeah.
But I don't
Maybe
know.
It's lost. Who knows?
I think it's quite good. And I don't necessarily need, what I need in Neheb is to get enough mana for Neheb. And then, like, lands don't really matter.
This doesn't help.
Right,
so if it, but once again, it's all dependent on what everybody else is doing.
Right.
And so dependent on what everybody else is doing. Like, if you got a guy that's ramping crazy.
Right, playing a lands deck.
Right.
Then it's awesome.
That's perfect. So it's like, but it's just so situational. It's hard to
Yeah, any given game, you don't know if that's you're going
to
have that person at the table.
Yeah.
This does sit in a nice spot, though. I think most, like, more casual sides can just play this against and go into more competitive metas. Maybe your deck's a 6, their deck's a 7, 8. And this will probably do some work for you. So... Got some flexibility.
5 mana.
Yeah, it's a lot.
5 mana. Five mana is a lot.
I'm stepping back.
I regret.
I'm stepping back.
We got taller, though. We got taller, so that part got...
He's phasing out.
5 mana, guys?
Yeah, I think the Teferi's Protection line is kind of the coolest, though. I like that.
That's how we were going
to do it. Yeah, I like that a lot, too. Yeah.
All right. Moving onwards. Josh is green. You want to read it?
Oh, is this my turn? Okay.
Yeah.
The next one is Family's Favor. 2 and a green for an enchantment. Whenever you attack, put a shield counter on target attacking creature. Until end of turn, it gains. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, remove a shield counter from it. If you do, draw a card. And a shield counter means if a creature with a shield counter on it would be dealt damage or destroyed, remove a shield counter from it instead.
Yep. I think this is pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
I think
3
that's pretty
mana,
good.
Not so bad.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, because of protection and it's card draw, and sometimes you want one, sometimes you want the other.
Well, you play this, you attack, right?
What are they going to do?
If you're not blocked, you get a card.
Right.
Yeah.
If it is blocked,
maybe they lose.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Maybe it's a bad trade for them.
I think it's quite good. I think this is a pretty damn good
100%
card.
100% creature-based deck. 100%. It's a 3 mana enchantment. It gets out early, and then even your like 1/1 coming in to just swing at Josh because he has a blocker.
Yeah,
you have a Ornithopter of
Paradise.
Off.
Yeah, Ornithopter of Paradise. Just you hit Josh someone. For zero and draw a card. It's so good. I think that's pretty good.
I also think like we play things like Lightning Greaves, Swiftfoot Boots, mostly to protect our commander.
Right.
Yeah.
And this can function as that in a lot of games where you'll play it, have an attack you can make, get that shield counter on your Xur or something like that, right? yeah. and you're like, I'm not going to take that shield counter off to draw the card. I'd rather protect that creature and make it harder to kill. Because that's a thing we're looking for in a lot of our decks, right? It's going to turn off when our commander dies. Look at this. And so the fact that this can give you some card draw, but also function as the protection
for the protection. We always talk about like how pseudo-vigilance and stuff is always good on commanders. Yeah. So being able to do that is pretty good. I like this especially in decks with mana dorks. Because I see often like you'll play like 3 mana dorks out. But, oh, no, you don't actually need to spend 6 mana this turn. You only need to spend 4. So you swing with those 2/1s.
Doesn't seem like it does much, but in this case, it'll draw your card.
It turns your elves into actually something that can draw you a card, and it gets protected. So,
would Ornithopter hit? Because it says you have to deal damage.
You have to deal damage. I don't know if the Ornithopter thing works.
It would not work. That's why you were in here, Jake.
Would it work in Silvala?
How about another Thopter? Just a regular old one.
Would it work in Silvala? What do you mean?
Like, because you're attacking with and a lot of creatures?
I'm trying to dump that into staff.
Okay.
I'm not attacking. I got to dump all that into staff, man. That's good. I think this is a great card for mono green. I think that's so cool. You get it. If turn one, I mean, you know, like we talk, there's Christmas land, very much so. But,
turn one,
you
turn
know,
two.
You're one thing. You got your thing out.
I just love Land War Elves being able to draw you cards. That sounds great.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You're losing the mana, but you also get the card.
If you have instant speed proliferation, you can swing, double the shield counters up, take a shield counter off. You have two off. Yeah, you still got one on there. Then board wipe.
That's what I think, too. With board wipe and shield counters, it might be a thing where you're just like, swing with this one turn, get a counter on my commander, don't take the shield counter off. Next turn, swing with my other important creature, put a shield counter on. They don't block it. Board wipe.
Right. Yeah.
Keep my two creatures. Everybody else's stuff is gone. Yeah. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Ignore what I said about Ornithopter. Replace it with Birds of Paradise. That's a
1/1.
Sure,
yeah.
Right?
No, no.
No.
That's a 0/1.
It's a 0/1.
Why am I even doing
nice
here?
Nice try.
How about a deck with, like, the Butts deck, the Duran deck.
What's an Ornithopter of Paradise? I think that's a 0/2, right?
Yeah. 0/2. It's a 0/2. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But look, you play it in your freaking Duran deck. You're fine. All right. Everyone stop looking at me. What's the next
card? This is why we're not usually live.
Next card. Wow.
Wow.
All right. The next one, we're on to artifacts. It's Currency Converter. This is an interesting card. 1 mana for an artifact. Whenever you discard a card, you may exile that card from your graveyard. And then you can pay 2, tap the Currency Converter, draw a card, then discard a card, so loot. And then you could also just tap the Currency Converter, put a card exiled with Currency Converter into your graveyard. Okay. And then if it's a land, you make a treasure token. And if it's a non-land, you create a 2/2 rogue creature token. So obviously, you know, it's all on the card. You could use it to loot. That's going to be put into exile. Then later you use this to bring the exile card back to your graveyard and get either a treasure or a token. And
it's not a land, though.
I'm going to let you guys talk about this.
No? You don't see it? You don't feel it? Okay, maybe we can sell you on it.
Yeah, sell me.
So I think the first line of text, you don't have to discard the cards because of Currency Converter. So if you Windfall or Wheel of Fortune or whatever.
By the way, it also says you may exile that card from your graveyard.
Which
so
I think.
Similar to, there's a card.
That's important, right? Because if you have important things you want in your graveyard and not in exile,
okay.
Then you can do it. So let's say you Wheel or something. It's going to put all 7 of those, or the ones you want, into exile. And then you can sort of slowly bring them back for treasure. So this becomes tap a 1 mana artifact that's tap, make a treasure token for a while, right?
Right.
If you got enough thing into exile.
Tap to make one.
Here's the thing, though. When you're,
it takes some work, obviously.
When you're discarding those lands, you do also need to play lands. So is this only good if you're flooding out?
This is like, I feel like, I don't know though, because if it's a land card, create a treasure token. This would go great in like what? Like Anya and all that stuff.
That's
right?
Already discarded,
Right. I don't know how many times you're going to discard a land, unless it's late game, but at that point, it's like, how much treasure do I actually need? Am I going to play an artifact just to make a treasure once every turn?
Do you just need this then in the decks that only want to discard cards and draw discard and they're constantly doing like that blue-red? I forget the name.
I mean, I think if you have a lot of wheels, it becomes good because a 1-mana artifact that taps for a mana every turn is good, right? We play 2-mana artifacts that do that. And treasures are better than tapping for mana because we can save them up over turns. We don't have to use them.
Yeah.
So if you have a lot of wheels, I think it's pretty good. I also think all the leaves the graveyard cards are good with this. So like Sir Conrad.
Right.
Because if you wheel with Sir Conrad out and this, each one of those will hit separately and then leave the graveyard and trigger each time because it's not all at once.
Oh, so the discard
whenever
hits
you discard
the graveyard
a card.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. Now you're exiling cards from your graveyard. Say this just gets Vandal Blasted. Then sure. Now you don't have any of that stuff in your graveyard.
Well, I mean, if it's a combo piece or something that's important in your deck, it's a May. So you're like, this one, I'm not going to do that. But most cards that you're discarding, okay. So like Wheel of Fortune, are not, you know, a lot of them are lands or just cards you have, you know, another removal spell or whatever. Right. It's not that important to you. And I don't think, you know, people are going to target this necessarily. It might when it becomes an engine. But I think there's some use for it. I don't think it's amazing, but I think there's some cool stuff, especially with the Leaves Your Graveyard stuff.
Yeah.
Desecration Tomb with this and a wheel is pretty good, right?
That it only costs one, I think, is the biggest one. Because there is definitely... Yeah. And they've been doing a lot of this, like, you know, Bag of Holding or all similar cards where it's like, look, we want you to start drawing, discarding, and seeing what happens. So this is just another, I think, iteration in that world. And this one might be stronger than the rest because you could make creatures, too.
That rummage effect for two, though.
That's a lot.
Play it with
that's
Steve
losing
Rose.
If you're doing that, right?
That's like, a that's what lot, you're doing. Man. You're play like, I need to do something, like, right now. I need to...
PG, you got one. I need to loot. High five.
I need to freaking loot.
Guys, two, man.
We'll figure this out. Right.
One more and we're rated R, but we're good. We're still good. We're still PG right now.
Yeah, we're you get one. Yeah. You get one in every PG 13
movie. Yeah, heck yeah. Okay. All right, let's move on.
Wait, I have a final question for you, Posty.
Okay.
Did I sell you on it? Like,
no.
No,
I'm not running this. No, there's no way.
I tried.
There's a great argument.
Back to the drawing board, Josh. Yeah. Always be selling, but not today. Glengarry, Glenn, ABC. And Josh. ABC.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
All right, let's go to the last card here, which I think is going to have a lengthy discussion because, Jimmy, this is the card you're playing as your commander on the next game nights.
That's right.
And Posty, this is the card that you kind of latched onto the most out of all of them. And have been building a deck around. And it's an exciting card. A lot of people out there are talking about it. Jimmy, you want to read this since you're going to be your commander.
Yeah, it's the Beamtown Bullies. Wow. So there's a lot of text on this card. So
it's a very cool card.
One, a black, red, and green, so that's Jun colors for a 4/4 Vigilance Haste. It's an Ogre Devil Warrior, but that probably won't matter.
Sick. Ogre Devil Warrior Tribal.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you can see them all in the art, too. You see a little devil in the background.
Yeah,
he's definitely
cool.
The warrior. Yeah, maybe he may be the ogre. Okay. You can tap it. By the way, it's got Vigilance and Haste. You can do it as a turn that comes down. Tap it. Well, you don't do it on your turn. Okay. Tap it. Target opponent, whose turn it is, puts target non-legendary creature card from your graveyard onto the battlefield under their control. It gains haste, goad it, at the beginning of the next end step, exile it. That sounds like a song almost. You're starting to, yeah. So goading it means that they have to attack, and it has to attack a player other than you if able. And you're taking basically, let's say I pass turn, I play the Beamtown Bullies, it's Posty's turn. I tap the Beamtown Bullies, I pull a card out of my graveyard, it's non-legendary, and put it under his control. It has to attack, and it's goaded, and it's got haste.
Stinky gifts. Lumps of coal.
Absolutely
just
gifts.
Lumps of coal. Stinky gifts.
There are so many things you can do with the Beamtown Bullies, and specifically it's called the Beamtown Bullies because you're trying to bully people around.
Push them around.
Hey, you attack someone else, kiddo.
So what's the first card that you thought of when you saw this card?
One, 1, 2, 3. Phage.
Phage. Yeah, phage doesn't
but it
work.
Says not, yeah, yeah, I'll it says not legendary.
Yeah,
phage is phage. The first thing I think that I thought of that you can't be like, oh my god, phage with this.
Yo, if you give your boy your phage, yo, that's see ya. Crazy. Yeah.
You can't do phage, unfortunately. Yeah, they thought of that.
Non-legendary.
I think that's the single reason they said non-legendary.
Very much so. I think it was definitely phage in card design. It was just like, they can't get
there's
phage.
Lots of other things, too, that just legendary creatures, they kind of break another layer. So I think they were like, let's keep it normal. They're just bullying kids around. They're not pulling legendary creatures from Magic's history out for other players.
Man, I don't, this card is so cool, dude. It's just very like, cool. It's not, I don't know if it's super quick, but it's like, it's so fun.
It's because you have put together like a little list, and I know, Jimmy, you have a deck too. Mm-hmm. And all the cards on it, I had to look up most of them because they're not cards you normally use, which is what's cool, right?
Why would you ever play these cards besides? I mean, Leveler makes sense. Leveler makes a lot of sense if you're going Thoracle, right?
Yeah.
But
you
give your boy your Leveler, you're like, oh my God, and I'll pass to you, sir. Like, or like, you know, you wait a turn around and then they go to draw and there's
so
nothing.
So Leveler,
there.
By the way, it just says when Leveler comes into play, remove your library from the game. So you give this to an opponent.
And they remove their library from the game.
They remove their library from the game. It's just over for them. Straight up, it's over. And by the way, Posty, I do have a gift for you. It is a foil Leveler. I brought this today.
Mine's in the mail, by the way.
Jimmy,
it's okay. Don't feel bad for it.
Good old foil Leveler. Turns out this card, you never play it unless you're playing the Beanstalk Bullies.
He's only doing that so the next time we play, he could be like, you wouldn't level the guy that gave you the leveler, would you? I know the game. I know the game you're playing, Jimmy.
I'm a level Jimmy.
No! If it's with my own card, that's one thing. But yeah, leveler is a great card. You could also Eater of Days. If you
Eater
drop
of
this
days.
In somebody, skip two turns.
Can't find a foil right now. I'm trying.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm trying.
Eater of Days, very popular
somebody's
card.
Mentioned
very,
Avatar
very popular.
What's that?
Avatar of Woe.
Avatar of Woe.
Well, that's another dynamic that I was thinking about. Because
I love this.
One that I'm building too is like super wheelie. So you're like wheeling, you're looting,
filling your graveyard,
getting stuff in your graveyard, Entomb, Buried Alive. Like these are all like you. If you play Buried Alive, you could get the three cards that you need to give to your boys,
three
and then
opponents in a row,
and then a Seedborn Muse, and then that's just it right there.
Yeah.
But Avatar of Woe is good because the creature gets exiled. So the creature gets exiled, but if you kill it before it gets exiled, it goes back to your graveyard. You can do it again.
Right.
This is really smart and interesting. I mean, I'm amazed you came up with this because we didn't really realize it until we were playing against Jimmy's
deck. In the middle of the game, we were like, wait a minute.
So what happens is, you take a creature from your graveyard during an opponent's turn, give it to them. It's goaded. It has haste.
Right.
They have to attack with it. And we learned during the game, like, don't block and kill it, because then it goes back to the graveyard and they can do that again.
Right. Yep.
So what people end up doing is going, I take the damage. And then it goes to the incept, gets exiled, now they can't use it again. So your opponents kind of start to work together to make it so you don't have access to that tool again. So, Avatar of Woe gives you a tool to kill it, get it back in your graveyard, use it again.
So,
yeah.
Avatar of Woe, Royal Assassin, what's the other? Visara. She's expensive, but there's no problem. If you're pitching stuff to your graveyard, then you just bring it back. She's a six drop, I think, right?
Yeah, there's ways to get Visara back.
Six drop.
But give someone something and you use any of these creatures to tap and kill it.
Right, to kill it. So you get it back, and then, you know, if you have like a Thousand Year Storm or like and then you have
Mage Rite Stone,
Seedborn Muse, all that,
all that stuff to untap your guy. You can give it to the next guy, and then do it again. Give it to the next guy.
Yeah, it's not crazy to be like, I do this to each of you.
Yeah.
If you leveler someone three times in a row...
That's so cool!
I will quit the game of Magic the Gathering and never play again. That's the dream! You pass turn, draw a card, die. Pass turn, draw a card, die. Pass. It's incredible!
It's so cool.
Wait, you're saying you'll quit if that happens to you, or you do it to other people?
No, I do it to other people, because I will never ascend higher than that
moment. That's it. That's it right there. That's
triple
how you
leveler,
get
or Eater of Days, whatever you want.
There was a cool one you had on your list, Posty, called Soul Gorger Org.
Soul Gorger
I've
Org.
Never seen this card before, but I like this play pattern. It's a 6/6 with trample. When it enters the battlefield, you lose all but one life. So you give this to somebody. But it says, when it leaves the battlefield, you gain life equal to the life you lost when it entered the battlefield.
Right.
So you've got like, hey, I'm going to try and do one damage to you somehow during your turn.
Josh, gut shot. Or Josh,
lightning bolt.
Yeah.
You win, with lightning bolt in Commander. It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that's amazing. Spike field hazard. There's tons of one damage things. Or just be like, Josh, you're playing a painter deck. I'm going to reduce this person's life to one.
Will you kill him?
How about Master of Cruelties?
Oh,
yes.
You're always going to find a chance to hit some with Master Cruelties, right?
Are you kidding me?
It's goaded, so they have to attack one of your opponents.
They have to attack, and they can't attack. So he's going to attack alone because goading, it says it has to attack if it's able.
Right.
So there's no chance for them not to. They can't attack with any of their other creatures. They have to attack with the one
you assigned.
Is that how that
works? Right? If they had multiple creatures, do they have to attack with the Master of Cruelties?
Goading says this creature has to attack if able.
And because it has its additional claws, it must stack on top. I love it.
You have to swing with the master, right?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I think you're right, but Jamie's going to tell us in a second, or
Jake?
Somebody in chat will tell us.
Jamie says yes.
Yeah! Yes! So you have Jamie to attack with your goated Master of Cruelties. There's no other way to get around it.
If we're wrong, it's Jamie's fault. Not our fault.
And then your boy gets one life, and then you just lightning bolt him too. Because I run four lightning bolts in my commander deck.
Whoa, nice, perfect. That's very legal.
Whoa.
Eight soul rings.
Lightning,
eight soul rings. 16 lightning bolts.
Why stop there? Why not like 20 soul rings?
I don't know, man. I need to run. How about room for the mana crypts? Because I run like 90 of those.
Yeah, another card you had written down, Posty, is World Gorger Dragon, which I think is actually pretty funny.
Yeah, that's cool. So I was doing like, I looked at this commander and I was like, this card is so cool. But it's an interesting interaction. So you give them the World Gorger Dragon, their ability, the ETB ability goes. They exile all their permanents, and in response, you tap
that on the
and
stack.
Murder
like your royal
Avatar
assassin.
War.
Exactly. Well, you know anything like that?
Even
and then
the kill spell. It doesn't matter.
Then they just lose all their permanents. It's epic. And I was looking into it. I was like, does this actually work? And it works.
Yep.
It works.
In this deck, too, if you want to be more competitive, you could just build in the Animate Dead World Gorger Dragon combo.
That's a combo for you right there.
It's just straight up, yeah.
Yep. So you have it, but yeah.
You're going to play that anyway, yeah. It's great.
It's actually, World Gorger is pretty good even if you don't kill it, like you don't have that. It still sort of gets rid of their whole turn because they get World Gorger, have no other permanents.
Yep.
You do that during their upkeep or something, then they're like, I guess I have to attack with it. Nobody blocks, then it gets exiled at end step, and then their stuff comes back, but their whole turn's gone now.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
So even on the worst case scenario, World Gorger is like really good. And,
I think it's pretty damn good.
You
it's
make someone
obviously
pause.
Way better if you can do the thing. But
if there's some like weird thing where they're gonna lose, you can also just stop them from losing that turn too. So you can even use it as a favor. So
yeah, and that's the whole thing. If Beamtown's out, he has haste.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. That's the biggest part about this.
They have
sure.
haste. You can do this whenever you want on anybody's turn.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just like, I don't know. I think this card is so cool, and this is like the coolest card in the set. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's so cool. I'm gonna have so much fun.
This is one of the best commanders I think I've ever seen in my entire.
It's just interesting. it's totally and completely new deck building style.
Right.
Because we were talking too, because I'm building Felden right now.
Yeah.
And you're talking about you're giving yourself this stuff. This one you give to them. You've never seen an Eater of Days or
a leveler,
played ever. Like, ever. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
very
so
cool.
It's great.
It's a really cool deck.
Can't wait
to
drop Eater Days on Josh.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
And
time,
you too,
Jeff.
Yeah, I have two of them that I'm going to have to. So I'm going to be seeing this deck a lot.
If I get Eater of Days by the Beantown Bullies, I will go, fair game. You did that.
I want to point out for all the people that are going to be in my position playing against the deck is that it says target opponent whose turn it is puts target non-legendary creature card from your graveyard into the battlefield under their control. So just hold your removal and make sure that you kill it on their turn before it gets to your
turn.
Don't
do that.
Or just Grafdigger's Cage or a ley line.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
Yeah. Then it's turned off.
There you go.
That's a good point.
Completely. Rest in peace. That all does the same stuff. But that's okay, because I'm going to Nature's Claim it immediately.
That's right. And then mill myself like crazy.
You can play all your stuff.
You definitely play Hermit Druid in this deck and all that. You just want to just get everything. If you can't find the Entomb.
Hermit Druid's actually crazy in this deck.
Yeah. Dunk it all in there.
Except for if you're Jimmy, then you only mill one card.
Yeah.
Play no basic lands.
Yeah, play no
basics. Guys, check me out. No basic lands. It's the best.
Yeah, pass the turn.
You do almost play none.
Pass the turn, it's and you true. Have to level everyone or you die. Majora would just kill you otherwise.
All right. That's going to do it for our top cards from the Streets of New Kometa Commander decks. We're now going to go to our Q&A portion of the episode. Audience. So if you have any questions for Jimmy or I, feel free to ask him.
Can I take a break?
Huh?
Oh, you were going to take a quick break?
Just like 30 seconds.
Yeah. 30 second break. So you are going to have to ask questions of Jimmy and I.
I'll be right back.
This is weird because I was assuming this section would be all.
Magic makes me pee.
Mostly just that magic makes me pee. And it does as
bathroom break, yeah.
Yeah, bathroom break.
It's a live show, everybody. This is how it goes.
So now's your chance to go into chat right now. We've been looking at chat all day, all hour. Lady's going to be here, and we're going to grab some questions from y'all, and we're going to direct them afterwards.
Lady's like, oh, crap. There's no questions for Josh and Jimmy. They were all for Posty, and he just left.
So it happened. It's okay, though. We're going to collate them. We're going to throw them up on screen. So if you're in the chat room, now's your chance to reveal yourself and ask something. Well,
I know we can ask for at least this question right now. There was an overall question of how to get into Magic for newer players, essentially.
Oh, we say this all the time. It's easy.
Magic Arena.
Yep.
Yeah, you can download Arena for free.
For free and play it for free.
And the tutorial parts of it are all for free. Yep. And it is really the best way to learn because there's no better way to learn than they've already got a system in place that's teaching you in the right order. And you actually get to sort of start playing right away.
Yeah.
I think it really is just the easiest way. And you don't have to go super far into it before you could play Magic with your friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you just spend a few hours in Arena, you'll understand the basic mechanics of like tapping mana and casting spells.
Yep.
And that'll kind of get you there.
Yeah, there's many levels to learning Magic. Just the basic one is like learning the rules of chess or checkers. What are the basic rule sets? What do you have to know to just function in the game? And then you get more advanced as time goes on. But Magic Arena gives a great chance for you to do that. At least the fundamentals.
All right, lady, you got a second question for us?
I've got questions, yes.
But they're all for the famous superstar.
Owen Koff asked Josh and Jimmy, okay. Mention of our famous friend here.
Yes.
What houses are you looking forward to in Kependa?
What?
Houses.
Yeah, what families?
Oh, I'm
what
definitely families, obscure yeah. all the way because their mechanic is all about looting and drawing cards, and it seems really cool to just be able to. I like turning through my deck. So, yeah, I think if I was in one of the crime families, I would be in the Obscura. How about you, Jimmy?
I'm Maestro still. I love Grixis as one of my first commanders, was Marchesa. So I'm all about sacking things and getting some extra value out of that graveyard. So
copying spells is cool.
Copying spells is very cool, yeah. So I'm a casualty kind of guy.
Kind of guy.
So they're asking what your favorite precons for New Kependa.
Your personal ones
are going to be.
Oh, boy. Do you have a favorite one? Is it the one with Beamtown Bullies?
It could be the one with the Beamtown Bullies. They're not. I was so surprised that they weren't the cover.
But I think that deck is so specific and probably not new player friendly.
Yeah, exactly. It's not more of the family type. So I
and
definitely
it would be hard for them to reprint cards because they got to give you a bunch of like bad cards.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. You'd be giving them some weird stuff unless they did the whole group hug angle.
He's back.
Oh,
we were vamping. We barely made it. Jimmy and I don't know how to talk in front of an audience at all by ourselves. Like, you know, we've never done it before.
Here, just dab and say, I'm awesome.
I do have the burning question of the day for me and everybody else. Posty, did you ever pick up the Black Lotus?
Oh, the Black Lotus.
That one?
Yeah, from auction.
No. I lost that one. That was a sad one.
But the Alpha Grade 10? Yeah.
Alpha 9-5. Alpha 9-5, signed by Chris Rush. God bless you.
Rest in peace.
I went to Costco.
We told this story on the roundtable.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You had the winning bid at the
gas
time.
Deals.
Yeah.
That was, they had goldfish. They had goldfish in bulk, man.
Yeah, you wanted to buy 800 of something, and you went to Costco.
Like before you go to bed at night, is there just that one moment every night where you're like, I could have had that?
Yeah, very much so. But I think I have a cooler Black Lotus now.
Very
special one.
Yeah,
but
It slipped away. But the next one, maybe not.
All right, lady.
All right,
I'm ready.
Next question.
I'm
right there. What is everyone's favorite personal deck they have currently?
Ooh, interesting.
I know yours. Go ahead.
What's mine?
Kyrick.
Yeah, that's Eric. Fair. I really,
not
I
Zer, the Enchanter.
No, I love my Zer. Yeah, I got my nice Posty Enchanter, it's the coolest thing. I don't know. I'm really enjoying Kyrick. I love seeing how fast I can, I can push it, push it until I go too far and like bend it till it breaks and figure it out. I don't know. I love that deck.
A lot of interesting lines. That's a hard deck to play,
very
too,
much
because
so.
The sequencing is so important.
Yeah. And I just upgraded it, so it's got
How's that
more,
even possible?
I don't know, man. It's a little spicy right now. I put like six jeweled lotuses in it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, 10 soul rings. Six
four lightning bolts.
Don't take our advice. Don't do that.
Jimmy, what's your favorite deck?
I think my favorite deck right now might be my Magda deck.
Oh,
Mono red Magda deck. Yeah, I love mono red decks, and Magda gets out artifacts and creatures and some big nasty things. So I'm all about, because I love throwing dragons on the battlefield.
The deck's surprisingly fast.
Yeah, it's very fast, especially when you have like Chiron Negotiations and all sorts of like weird cards that make the tapping and making treasures thing go. So
Magda's pretty good.
Yeah, turns out treasures are pretty good.
Yeah, it turns out, especially when you could use them to drop a Blightsteel on the battlefield.
And you're in red and you crack it for a green.
Oh, yeah.
That's
just
because
you can.
Just because you can.
Yeah. The rules bend around me.
Josh Lee Clive, Game Night's fame.
My favorite deck is still my Vile Smasher and Thrasios deck.
I know.
Yeah, I love that deck.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. That's the one that beats me every time. I'm like, I don't even know what to do.
They even brought the cards up for it. Get out of here.
It turns out Thrasios is pretty good. I don't know if everybody's heard. Yeah.
Thrasios might be the best card in Commander ever, man. Yeah,
it's not CDH, I just want to say.
Oh, just like my Corvald. Is a nice Corvald deck.
Yeah.
That's not true. Everybody. I just want
everybody
to know.
It's like a 9. There's that no deck is thing. Like a 9. Come on.
Eight point seven.
All right. Another question, lady?
Our next question is for Posty. What, when, why did you get interested in Magic the Gathering, more specifically Commander? P.S.
It was these guys that got... Because I used to play when I was a kid. So I used to play when I was like a little kid, and this was... I mean, it was like super, like we were Savannah Lions and stuff like that, right? And then I played, you know, I kind of stopped, and then I started playing the Xbox games, the Planeswalkers games.
Oh, yeah,
doing
the Planeswalkers,
and you could build your deck on Xbox and stuff, and you literally had to use the joysticks. And you're like, it was terrible, but it was so much fun.
It was
fun.
Also fun, yeah.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And then I started playing Arena.
Yeah.
So I started playing Arena again. This was like 3 years ago. And then I started watching these two crazy lads. And I got hooked on Commander. I was like, because, you know, I love hanging out, having a Texas tea with my boys, and just chilling out. And that's and like sitting with four of your boys. You got a pod and they're all friends and everybody's so beautiful and so sweet. And just being able to go and chat with people and kick some ass while you do it.
And dive really deep into a game, too. You're putting so much brain knowledge together into this game that everyone's playing it on the same page of. It's pretty magical.
It's insane. It's better than basketball.
No. I agree, because I do not sweat when I play Magic the Gathering.
I don't know. Playing Thrasios Vile Smasher, I don't know.
You had a great quote. We ran a promo for the game nights you were on, but you said something like, you know, you're maybe going to meet some of the best friends you'll ever
get true.
To know. Yeah, you know, Magic is just that kind of game. And Commander really is, the most of that. So.
Magic also has just changed the way I think about the world. And I think a lot of Magic players think the same way. Because all of a sudden you're thinking about, like, what's my out? And then you're filling your gas at the gas station going, how do I min-max this experience?
Right. how do I become more efficient?
Or just, like, something comes up that's, like, kind of Magic related. But, like, it helped you think about frame the world a little differently. Mm. So the game's great for that, too.
And it just makes me happy. That's, like, the most important thing.
Most important thing, yeah.
It just makes me so happy. Like, this, like, Jimmy giving me this is, like, I'm just, like,
he's gonna be very happy when the leveler.
Maybe have an Eater of Days
when he gives us the leveler.
And I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's gonna be bittersweet, but it's gonna be a bittersweet symphony. It's gonna be absolutely
I'll
gorgeous.
Cry. Tears of joy and sadness at the same time.
All right, lady. I think we got time for a couple more. Yeah.
Okay. The next one is, if there is one card that is not non-legendary out there that you wish was a legendary, so it can be your commander.
Oh.
What is the there's that one? Oh boy, I should know the name of it. It's mono white, but it has a is it hybrid activation cost where it gives all your instants and sorceries the lifelink. I've always wanted that to be
Soul something.
Soulfire Grandmaster, Jamie.
Wow, how
way
about to go, that?
Jamie's
that's
a best.
Jamie,
though, right?
Jamie,
yeah.
Jamie
Jess
Block,
guy?
By the way. Yeah, it's just guy.
Yeah, it's just guy.
Yeah, I think that card would be
time warp. Get out of here with that.
It just
nonsense.
Does the time warp up.
Degenerate.
But that's not what I probably would do that.
You 100% would do that.
All right, how about you guys? What's a non-legendary you wish was legendary?
This is tough.
Yeah,
I kind of like, there's another mono white one that creates monk tokens with prowess. I forget what that is
called.
Oh,
it's the, it has
Jamie, bring it up. Get us.
What's
it's
it do?
Two in the white.
There it is.
Yeah,
Monastery
yeah,
Mentor.
Yeah, Monastery Mentor. Because, I mean, this would just be cool, like a white spell singer deck, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah. I like how both of us said two in the white, mono white creature. Oh, yeah. It's Jeskai.
Yeah, yeah, mine's really Jeskai.
Thassa's Oracle. I don't know.
Wait, no, that's great. Mono blue, Thassa's Oracle.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's the whole thing, too.
That's like an F1 card,
dude. I found Ambassador Laquadius or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you
and
the Texas
yo,
League.
If you just copy, if you get infinite mana anyway, you just, you draw your whole deck. It's in, or you mill your whole deck. It's
what's
insane.
What's Ambassador what?
Ambassador Laquadius. There he is right there. That's my boy.
Three mana target blade with the top three cards.
It should be Ambassador Laquadius.
That's true. I mean, even
you can mill other people too. You can just mill everyone out.
Took him a second.
Yeah, it's like and, leveler.
You know, but I don't know. There's so many. Thassa's Oracle is the first one that comes to mind because that's just so easy.
Like, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. Like I don't know. Spellseeker will be sick. Like
Spellseeker?
Just special stuff. Protean Hawk would be sick.
Oh my lord!
How crazy would that be?
Dockside Extortionist in my command zone. Let's do that.
Flash is your commander.
Divining Top, a legendary creature.
Oh, that'd be.
Yeah, that'd be.
You have to play a colorless deck though. That'd be hard.
That'd be cool. Code. I'd be down. I'll figure it out.
All right, lady, what's up next?
All right, so up next we have from Zach Moore, Josh Posey, and Jimmy, what are some of your favorite what the heck moments in your Commander and EDH careers?
Oh, man, what the heck moments?
Well, you know.
I'm trying to think of, like, a time when, you know, the rules were, like, out of whack. Oh, my Lord, that's
mastery.
A really good one. Jake just popped his head in and reminded me about the Mizzix Mastery moment from Game Nights.
This is ridiculous.
Where I Mizzix Mastery and had like 27 instances of sorceries.
Varin, right?
Yeah.
The duel, yeah.
Oh,
spells,
yeah, from Strixhaven.
And it literally, we had to break for lunch because it took me like 40 minutes to try and figure out. And I was like, this is taking forever.
Get
everybody go eat.
Get Laquadius out of here.
Everybody.
Put Varin up.
Everybody else went
Laquadius.
To like, it took three
no,
hours to
off.
Figure out what order to resolve all the stuff in and what was going to happen and which ones I wanted. Yeah, that was a what did I get myself
it took you
into
like
moment.
3 hours to figure out what you
and,
do.
And for the last hour, I had help from everybody.
That was like the first game nights whenever I played Rise of the Dark Realms.
Oh, like, yeah, we were like, well, what is going to happen?
We had to figure out all that. I was like,
what are we
taking from everybody? Like all this stuff. Yeah, I don't know, man. So I think my what the heck moment is every time you play Orvar because I don't know what the hell's going on. So, yeah.
He hates it when I pull out the Orvar deck. Yeah. He's like, oh, the
I don't know
deck.
What the hell's
oh,
going on.
Gosh.
I'm like, yeah, I trust you, Josh. I trust you.
Yeah.
I just make token
sure.
copies of lands. That's all that
sure.
happens.
Sure.
Yeah. My what the heck moment isn't commander related. I was drafting with Craig once. We were at the old Riot offices. You may have been there that night, but we were drafting like a core set.
Oh, I remember
in the
this.
Core
yeah.
set, we were doing conspiracy. Plus core set. And Conspiracy has this thing that if you draft it, you can double a spell you get.
I remember
right?
this.
So Craig Blanchett decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just do something that's just really inappropriate. So he drafts a mill 10 cards type spell. And he drafts as many of those as possible alongside the Conspiracy that doubles that spell every time.
It's like a sorcerer instant that, you know, target player mills 10 cards or target opponent mills 10 cards.
Two games in a row. Craig Blanchett goes after me and mills me out of my 40-card limited deck that I just drafted. And I got so frustrated. Double stroke. Yep. I got so frustrated for the one and only time in my Magic career, I took my deck and I threw it at Craig.
He literally did the like.
I slammed the cards down. I was so upset that I got double milled out on the draft night.
It was the second game where you really were like, he's not going to target Jimmy again. He's like, Jimmy. We're like, oh!
What did you have in your deck? Like eight soul rings?
No, it was, 100 soul rings.
He was like, I'm a sweet deck, and you won't let me play.
Yeah.
And he was steady marched
I was
out.
So excited. Yeah, it was like M18 or 17. I forget which one it was, but it had a, like mill 10 cards card. And because we combined it with Double Stroke and Conspiracy, Craig just decided that this was how we wanted to live in the world.
That's
Craig just wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah, you know.
So respect to Craig.
So speaking of that, they want to know who the toughest opponent to play against with how they build or play their decks.
Ooh. Josh.
Josh, yeah, probably Josh.
Yeah, Josh.
Because he's not only building decks, he's wheeling and dealing. And even if you're like, look, you're being manipulated right now, he'll still find a way around
his
it.
His eyes are,
say yes.
are mesmerizing. He has these beautiful mesmerizing.
He finds the line.
Hamburger eyes.
And
hamburger?
Yeah, I don't know. They're like,
who doesn't love hamburgers?
Okay. And I love them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love hamburgers. I'm hungry right now.
Yeah, you can, Josh, I love you.
I will say Posty's very tough to play against. His decks are all like very powerful. You got to be on your toes. Like, you got to have your removal ready, because at any moment, like, it's not CEDH, but it's like super highly tuned. There will be some combos, so it's going to be
ready to win at
and you build really resilient decks. That's one of the things where I'm always like, I stopped the combo. Remember the other night we were playing and I hit you with the Sword of Feast of Hand, got the Walking Bliss out of your hand, Heliod's already on the battlefield. I was like, there, we're fine. And then you comboed off like the next turn somehow.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
it's with no cards in hand either. It was like, what the hell is going on?
I find myself often doing jazz hands. I took their commander deck building format and kind of just, I was like, who needs to draw cards? Of course. There's others. That's what they were giving me so much crap. They're like, he never has any lands. I'm like, I have lands in the deck.
What about?
That's the most important thing.
Chromatic Orrery.
The best card ever printed.
Oh, let's talk. Hey, Jamie, can you punch up Chromatic Orrery?
Oh, it's ready!
Yeah!
So quickly! That's incredible. That was milliseconds.
I just want to be clear about our stances. I think this card is garbage.
No, the goal of this podcast was for me to get you to say that you love Chromatic Orrery.
No, never going
to
happen.
Josh, okay.
Take the lantern down. It's only Orrery. It's only Orrery.
Oh, lantern's pretty mid, right?
Pretend we're reading a script for an ad, and it's like, you know what? I love Chromatic Orrery, but that's your line. All right, ready and action. Bummer, man.
Dude, SpaceX is giving you $5 trillion to say you love Chromatic Orrery.
I love Chromatic Orrery.
I lied!
$5 trillion, okay. Yeah.
We do like this card.
Posty plays it in a few decks. Not a ton, but...
No, I like... I don't know.
Every time you get it, I'm like, that card's garbage.
It's just so... I don't know, man.
He kills me with it sometimes.
That's won me so many games because the ability to, like... Honestly...
Mana of any color,
Well, you take it. All right, so you take it and expand it. All right, so you're running artifacts. You're running a crap ton, a boatload of... freaking artifact.
We're rated R now. We're rated R. Sorry, everybody.
We're not high-fiving anymore. Okay. So you're running all these artifacts, right? And if you think about it, what is it? Like Thran Dynamo is 4 for 3.
Right.
Yep. Right? Chromatic Orrery is 7 for 5. But you also can spend mana as if it were any color.
Right.
I think, and you can also draw.
Weathered Power Stone, pretty good with it too. Yeah.
Your commander's 5 colors. You draw 5 cards off tapping it. I don't know. It's pretty.
Sure, but that's a lot of mana if I draw the cards.
But sometimes you need it.
I don't know.
You got a bunch of mana.
He has used it to kill me before. But I've always said, but a lot of 7 mana cards would have been good in the spot where you played that one.
That's called a pet card, Josh.
Yeah,
not in colorless.
He's the one that brought it up. I didn't.
On Posty's pet? That's crazy,
dude,
man.
Dude, you hate my pet?
I said I loved it.
That's true, he did. Only because Elon told you to.
$5 trillion. What a bounty.
Hey. The joke's on you. Little do you know, I would have done it for $1 trillion.
Oh, my man. You wasted $4 trillion. Yeah. That could have been spent to cast many of any color. All
right. Lady, do we have any more? Or are we?
We have a few more.
Let's do one more.
Okay. One more.
No, let's do
that's
three.
The best one.
Let's do three.
All right, we're doing three.
Okay. Yeah, let's do three.
We're doing three.
One I've got is from Gaming Night. What is your personal favorite era in Magic because of sets, people, or while you were
Gaming
learning?
Gaming Night?
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Sounds kind of familiar. Yeah.
Is it Night with a K?
It is Night with a K.
Wow.
I love that name.
Won the lawsuits
I'm
on
gonna,
the way.
I'm going to... I'm actually take... Can I use that name for my show?
Hey, Post Malone Gaming Night here.
What's going on, guys? This is Gaming Night's...
Thanks, sponsored by Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah. Sponsored by Blizzards. Blizzards of the Boast. Here on Gaming Nights.
All right, what's your favorite era in Magic? You know, is that like sets and blocks and things like that?
Yeah, sets, blocks, everything.
I know my answer.
What is it?
Urza's block. That's the coolest thing. That's the coolest stuff ever.
Way back in the day.
Yeah, that's like the coolest stuff. No, that's just the coolest stuff.
Cradle.
Yeah. Grim Monolith, Grim Monolith.
Is that because you like the cards from that era the most, or like you have? Is that when you played as a kid? Was Urza?
No, I think it was. There's a little bit of gray because that was 98?
Yeah,
yeah,
98,
late 90s.
Yeah,
for sure.
I was four. I'm not. I was
prodigy, magic prodigy. Everybody, yeah.
Guys, I was singing. I had like 19 foil Grim Monoliths.
Cards get printed, and you're like, oh, that's my set.
That's the set. I don't know. There's something about it. The foiling from that set is just like It's just like
the, yeah, the foiling from that.
As much as I love playing, I love admiring the art and the product, like what's created. Like I just think it's gorgeous. So mine's Urza's Block.
It's got that old art style too. I love the art and Grimmauld.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, it's insane. Cool. Yeah, I don't know.
When I played, it was right when Ice Age came out. So that has to be my favorite as well, because I remember getting it was like Revised, the Lightning Bolts, and Incinerate, the art for Incinerate from like Revised, if we can find that. This art alongside Nightmare blew my mind.
Nightmare
is
the coolest thing ever.
So I don't think they can do specific art. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Incinerate, I mean, the old version has just, it's kind of like that scene in
it's Terminator 2, right?
Terminator 2, where when she's like at the, at the nuclear explosion happens and you just watch the flesh get ripped off. So that card, when I was 7 or 8, was just like, this, I cannot believe this exists.
That's pretty
metal.
I can
do this to someone.
I can cast it on someone and make them lose life. So my deck was literally like 20 mountains and then just lightning bolts and incinerates and fireballs. That was my first Magic deck.
So it's like your Magic decks now.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I'm true to form.
It's tough because, there's the nostalgia of, like, I played at the very beginning when, like, Legends, the set, came out. So, like, Revised is, like, what Magic looked like to me and my friends. So Revised has a lot of nostalgia to it. I really love the Cons era. Conspiracy came out around that same time. Yeah. And Conspiracy and Cons, I just thought were just two, like, super fun sets to draft. And then that's when really we got into Commander. So I think I just have, like, it's a lot of nostalgic feelings about those two, like, moments in time for me.
Shit, so. Ojinen to see Drino. What a transition you've made, Josh, over the years. Jedit.
Put Dakon Blackblade up there.
Dakon. What are you dissing on Jedit?
Dakon Blackblade was the first rare I ever opened. So, wow. You know. Yeah.
Nice. Nuka Pen is a close second.
No, seriously, I do love Nuka Pen.
I love it, too. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah,
yeah,
it's so cool.
Our deck looks great, yeah.
All right, I got one more question, and then I have a personal request.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
So the last question, I cannot say that, but for all of you, who is your four-player dream pod to play against? Hi, Josh, from your cousin Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Down dream pod, dream SD. Pod. Besides everybody who's here, so you have to name three people.
That's in my dream pod.
Yeah.
It could also be people that don't play Magic. Yeah, just that are from history, from whatever.
From history?
Yeah, anybody. Yeah, just pick your favorite.
Right. Josh, you
fictional characters?
Yeah. Sure.
Fictional characters.
Pod.
Wow.
Dream Pod.
Okay. Dream Pod.
You know? Blade,
yes!
SpongeBob, and Shrek.
Wait, that would be instantly. Such a good pod.
Are you kidding me? The dynamic. That, yeah, it's called Gaming Nights, sponsored by Blizzards of the Post. Are you kidding me? It's insane.
It's out next Tuesday, everybody. Yeah.
Holy moly. Okay.
Blade and SpongeBob.
Could you imagine Blade playing Commander?
I can, and
are you kidding
I will.
Me? He runs Edgar Markov. What are you saying?
Here's the thing. Would he ever pay for the tax on Risk Setting?
Hell
no.
No, he just
cut your head off. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, whoa. I don't know. I just thought Blade was awesome. And then no comments on taxes or anything.
Deep cut, Hollywood cut. Okay. I've been asked before. I think I would want to do, because we've talked about him so many times, Sun Tzu. He wrote The Art of War.
That's a good one.
Wouldn't he be crazy to just see what happens?
He'd probably be the best.
Yeah, he probably would wreck you. And with a smile on his face. It's like playing against Josh sometimes.
Wait, why with a smile on his face? We don't know Sun Tzu's disposition.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe he has a frown.
He was a tactical strategy guy, yeah.
He has a dark grimace. I think, Sun Tzu. And then I think I would love to play with, the elder statesman. I want to play with, George Washington.
Yeah, I like this.
As he's crossing the river.
But you want to play with him as he's crossing?
I got a game of Commander.
Think about it. That's a big river. They got a lot of time, and that's everyone's rowing. And he's not standing there doing this the whole time. He's probably doing something else.
You guys are on
that little dinghy.
Yeah, we're on the dinghy, and we're playing with all fully sleeved cards, double sleeved, because I don't want to get anything wet.
Sick,
super sick. And then I don't know, Genghis Khan. I don't know. Just throw someone out there. Just finding crazy people that would do nuts things. If it was fictional characters. Maybe I would want to play with, Batman.
Sick.
Oh, and
Bruce Wayne or Batman?
And George Washington and
SpongeBob.
Sun Tzu.
And Sun Tzu.
Yeah, and, of course, Shrek as well.
I think I want to get a drink with Shrek. I don't know if I want to play with
Technically,
Shrek.
Shrek is in every Commander pod because he's with all of us.
In our heart.
Right here.
Is that true?
That's very true. You don't feel him?
Yeah,
I told you.
You don't think Shrek is everywhere?
You don't feel him?
He's inside you right
now.
Wait,
let me answer. I've been thinking about my answer for a second.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, we could go deep on Shrek.
I have two good ones. I'm trying to come up with a third. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know.
Did I steal one of yours? I'm sorry.
No.
No.
I think it would be cool to put together, like, the all politics pod.
Yes.
So let's get Machiavelli.
Wow.
Sit him down. Let's get like Cicero.
Okay. Wow.
And then let's get like, I don't know, who's somebody that's modern, that's like a real good orator or speaker, convinced, like
Barack Obama.
Obama, I think, would be a pretty good Obama's one. Obama's awesome. So I'd like to test my mettle in the politics game against, you know, the great silver tongues of, you know, history.
That would be pretty epic. Yeah. I would definitely watch that on Gaming Nights.
And Shrek. Shrek is the wild card.
Shrek is always there. Or just anybody from the play Hamilton.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, that'd be sweet.
I've never seen Hamilton. I don't know.
Well, it's great.
It's great. You should see it.
All right, lady, you've got a special request or question of your own.
No, my special request is into our next transition, if you all could give us your best New Capenna caster. You know what I'm talking about? Like an old-timey,
like the Bank Busta.
Into the next
segment, which is, we're going to be teasing upcoming events. You want to give it a shot? Hey there, see, we're going to go into the main event of the evening, which is the upcoming events for the next thing you're talking about, see?
Man, that's pretty good, huh? I trust you, but my finger gun don't. And I'm not allowed to cuss, so...
We love you, see?
He's a good boy.
Yeah, we're all a couple good boys, huh?
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
I'm going to put your name on the star on the boulevard, kid.
I thought you were going to say put your nuts or something. I don't know.
I'm going to grab your nuts and put them on the boulevard, kid. Wow. Be famous around the town.
Technically didn't cuss.
Nuts is not a bad word.
Gaming Nights, Mr. Nuts.
Technically did not cuss.
We're all nuts for Mr. Nuts. So there are.
We almost made it. Josh is like, we almost made it.
Yeah, we're degenerating very quickly towards the end here.
Okay, all right. Let's get to the upcoming events before this goes downhill any farther. A lot of stuff coming up for Streets of New Capenna. In-store pre-releases are April 22nd to 24th.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever been to a pre-release, Posty? They're like Jimmy and I guess it would be a disaster probably if you did go to one.
There's a fantastic store in Salt Lake.
Oh, true.
Oasis.
We went to Oasis Games.
Absolutely incredible store.
Yeah. Pre-releases are, I think, my most favorite like live Magic events that happen. They're very like casual. There's low stakes, but you get to play with the new cards.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love them. So you've done it?
Yeah. One.
That's awesome.
The one.
Yeah. The one.
The one.
It's a great chance for the person that asked, like, how do I learn how to play Magic? Oh. Pre-release is like the next step. After you learn how to play, because there are people that are going to help you. It's so nice and awesome, yeah.
Absolute beautiful people, and they just, you know, it's so cool to see Magic players come together and show love and spread love, no matter what.
I've missed in-person events, so.
Yeah, man.
And then, of course, April 27th, the Game Nights episode for Streets of New Capenna is coming out. We have special guests, Nessa Meow Meow, Twitch streamer, and then Ned Fulmer from the Try Guys. Is in the house looking very dapper. We all dressed up for that episode.
Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
So that's a very fun one. Well, you can't be on every episode.
Well, you guys can come on Gaming Nights.
Oh, thanks, man.
I can't wait to be a guest on Gaming Nights.
And then April 28th is the digital release of Streets of New Capenna on Arena and on MTGO. And then, of course, on April 29th, that is when the physical paper product officially releases.
Ooh.
That's when we're all going to be cracking our
Collector's Boosters set.
Boosters
and drafting the draft boosters, being responsible.
Yeah, draft. Yeah, don't just crack draft. You know, don't let your friends just crack the packs. Draft
what?
The packs. Yeah.
I don't know. You could kind of let them. Crack
you could play.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's your life. You know, your reality. Have fun with it.
All right, and then one last thing we wanted to let everybody know is that on May 10th. We are going to be doing episode 3 of Command Zone Live.
Woo-hoo.
And on that episode, Jimmy and I are going to be revealing our Commander Legends Baldur's Gate preview card, which is a brand new legendary creature.
Ooh.
So we've got a lot to say about it. We're going to spend the whole episode sort of talking about that card because it's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, we'll build around it. It'll be a lot of fun. Check it out May 10th. Put it on your calendars. We'll also tweet it all out and stuff so you can get the registration link.
Yep. All right. Thank you, everybody out there who attended. Thanks for everybody in chat for throwing us the questions and whatnot. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. Posty, of course, thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks to Lady Danger on the questions. Jake Boss for directing in the backs. Jamie Block for bringing up all those cards. Truck Tie, Wizards of the Coast, Zach and Malika, and Nox at Hyper RPG, where we are right now.
Yep, and everybody here behind the scenes at RPG, we really thank everybody. And we'll see you all on May 10th.
Peace.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.
For your attention.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.